Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Thank you very much for joining us this lovely Friday. It's a good Friday. It's summer. No, it's not really. It's almost fall. Not really summer anymore. The weather's turning. Some of you don't like it. Some of you do. Some of you are sick of the heat. Some of you just can't wait for more football. College football, NFL football, what have you. NBA season's right around the corner. I don't care what weather you like. It's a good time to be a sports fan. It's always the right season to be a sports fan. So thank you guys for paying attention to the show. Please feel free to check us out on Twitter. We are at Fireside Radio. And I want to bring in a very special guest. He's very dear to my sports hearts. I hope he is to yours as well. He's at Bryant Knox on Twitter. He's at Bryant Knox on Oregon Sports News. He's at Bryant Knox anywhere you find him. He's just the Bryant Knox. So, Bryant, want to bring you on. He's a contributor to Oregon Sports News. He's also a contributing editor. He's actually written some very great pieces this week, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, Bryant, thank you for being on the show. How are you doing this fine evening?
Oh, I'm always good. You know me, Casey. I'm always good. The summertime is winding down, like you said. But to me, all that means is, you know, like you said, college football. Baseball's back. The NFL's back. The NBA is right around the corner. I haven't been a baseball follower, at least an avid follower, in quite some time. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, late September, October baseball. Last year, I got particularly lucky because my Cubbies went all the way, which was nice. This year, we'll see how it plays out. But like you said, if you're a sports fan, this is a great time of year.
You didn't have to wait quite as long as some Cubs fans. How does that work for you? I mean, does that matter to them, to the other fans you meet in the streets of Portland, or is that just something, you know, you're all so happy that you won, it doesn't matter when you got on the wagon with them?
You know, I'll throw on a Cubs hat every now and again. I especially did around the World Series, and yes, the really sort of easy take, the low-hanging fruit, is for the other fans to, you know, ask me how long I've been a fan, because I'm a fairly young guy. I did not have to wait 100 plus years,
right,
to see my championship. But I will say that, you know, basically since I was a small youth person, I've had three baseball teams, and it was literally just because of what was on TV. The Cubs happened to be on WGN
all the time.
I've been watching them. Yeah, I've been watching them for, you know, I'd say upwards of 25 years. So, you know, no, I'm not the 100-plus-year diehard fan, but I think I've been through some rough years with them. So
you absolutely have.
I feel okay about that.
You're old enough to see all the down times. You deserve a few good times, I would imagine.
I'll take a few good times.
So he's Bryant Knox, very special guest. Very glad to have him on. Check out his work this week. Well, check it out any week, but this week especially, he and Jared Wright, another great OSN writer, have been working in collaboration on a project. They're writing the pieces separately, if I understand that correctly. Brian, correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct.
Okay, so he and Jared are both writing pieces on profiles that are showcasing Trailblazers players. They've already got six players, and that's all you're really going to get. But they've got Damian Lillard, Yusuf Nurkic, Evan Turner. They're going to also have CJ McCollum and Caleb Swanigan, and sorry, that's only five. I apologize if my math is not strong. I'm an English major, so take it to whoever you will on that note. But five players, five profiles, great articles. Jared Wright, Bryant Knox. Make sure you check those out on Oregon Sports News. They did those all this week. Great articles, great columns, really great profiles. If you want to see something through the eyes of a local fan, this is the way to do it. What's that been like working on those with Jared, Bryant?
You know, it's an annual project at this point. He and I do it every year for the last few seasons now. So it's something that is sort of a nice, you know, transition. You know, like you said, the summer's coming to an end. This is kind of our significant piece of content for the end of every summer. And, you know, it's a very nice way of being able to take a quick look back at the way the season ended, the way last season played out in its entirety. And how that's going to translate to next season. You know, there will be a couple new guys this year that we'll hit on, particularly Zach Collins and Caleb Swanigan, you know, going live this week. And so it's always just a nice way to kind of, you know, really set that line that, okay, this is the end of the summer. The fall is right around the corner. And with that, here comes, you know, our annual series. It's a lot of fun to work on.
Outstanding. I can't wait to see all that. And a couple of them even posted today. So we'll see that at the end of this week, and really look forward to seeing those. Check those out if you haven't already. You can find him at www.OregonSportsNews.com. Again, he's Bryant Knox, and his partner on the project is Jared Wright. Make sure you check out both of them. All their work is phenomenal. It's a shameless internal plug. I don't care. It's good work. You see good work, you want to praise it. So, Bryant, you do an excellent job, and I want people to see your work. So,
much appreciated, sir.
Absolutely. Let's dive right into the hot topic of NFL football. First of all, your Miami Dolphins are undefeated on the season. They haven't actually played a game yet, but they're undefeated.
And I'll take it.
Exactly. And due to how the Patriots lost last week, they're actually ahead of the Patriots in the division. And with the Bills beating the Jets, the Bills are actually leading the division. Is this the AFC East as you saw it coming into week one?
Well, I certainly didn't think that the Patriots were going to lay the egg that they laid. I have no complaints with that as a Dolphins diehard. You know, my allegiance to the Dolphins is more from, you know, association than, you know, true diehard fandom. If I'm just being completely honest, I grew up as a kid watching Dan Marino, with my dad. And because the Dolphins were my dad's team, the Dolphins became my team. So, you know, it's a very organic fandom in that sense. But because I grew up watching Dan Marino, it always makes watching Ryan Tannehill very, very difficult.
Well, you don't have to do that this year. He's not there.
And so that's
problem solved.
That's why I was actually particularly disappointed about the delay in the schedule. Obviously, you know, they made the right decision, and there's nothing you can do about that based on all of the, you know, external circumstances. So no complaints them not playing, and especially no complaints because now we get to claim that they're second in the division, behind only the Bills.
Right.
But you know, the Jay Cutler move was an interesting one. It was one that I didn't hate. It was one that I don't think anybody loved. But I particularly didn't hate it because you have, you know, a deep ball threat in Landry and a guy who, you know, once they do get out on the field, you know, Cutler is going to be the most erratic and apathetic quarterback in the division, if not the league. And I'm okay with that because he knows he's a rental. We all know he's a rental, and he has a couple of weapons, and he's in a run heavy offense. So yeah, didn't get to see him this week. That was disappointing. But you know, I think the Patriots will come back to earth. I don't think that this is a sign that they are done for. They have more weapons than they had last year. Especially with a guy like a Brandon Cooks. So I am not worried about the Patriots in any sense, but I was glad to see that at least for 1 week, the inactive Dolphins were able to you know, claim their spot ahead of them for however long it lasts.
Well, we'll get to some Patriots overreactions in a second, but let's switch gears over to Seattle, which is the only professional sports team in the NFL in the Northwest. They started out 0-1. Their offense looked, we'll just say, lackluster this Sunday. Some of that might have been the Green Bay defense. Some of that might have been officiating. Some of it might just have been rust. Some of it might have been the offensive line. Are any of those things?
A lot of it might have been the offensive
line. A lot of it was. And, you know, with a fill-in left tackle, and, you know, you only have a couple of guys like Justin Britt that are really mainstays, and you don't even have your great starting running back in Thomas Rawls. And Marshawn Lynch is now in Oakland. You're bringing in Green Bay's cast-off Eddie Lacy and a rookie in Chris Carson. CJ Procise didn't look very sharp. Are you overreacting if you're a Seahawks fan, or are you saying it's 1 week and we'll see what happens in week two when they get San Francisco?
You know, I'm not a Seahawks fan, so I'm going to try to be as polite as possible here, but I think there's a lot to be worried about. I truly wonder if legitimate Seahawks fans who go in every week and root for this team understand how much trouble that offense would be in if Russell Wilson didn't have the legs that he has. If he weren't able to create and turn broken plays into, you know, anything other than a loss, and even play a play downfield, a 3-yard scramble, even, you know, those losses that any other quarterback would be taking are really going to add up. So, you know, personally, I'm worried about them. I think they have the luxury of being in their division because the Niners are just going to be the Niners for who knows how long now. And you know, they have the luxury of playing against them at this point, but I don't have a ton of optimism. You know, they look like something of a shell of their Super Bowl selves, just because the offense is as lackluster as it is.
And I think getting a solid running game back will help. You know, they say that, you know, offense helps ease the biggest of issues in the NFL. And that's true. I mean, especially with the simple stuff like running the football, it can calm everybody down and make everything seem a little easier because you don't have to try so hard to get those third and longs with the passes that you used to not have to do. I mean, they used to have third and short every time with Marshawn Lynch behind Russell Wilson. But now that they've got a rotating running back carousel, you don't really know what you're going to get. And so now he's having to force a lot of things. And he's also got pressure in his face, even when it's a called pass play where he's trying to go for a deep ball. And it just isn't working. Something isn't right. I don't think the talent is there on the offensive line, but I do think that if they really work at it, you know, Tom Cable is a great offensive line coach. They can figure this out. They can make some plays happen. And I don't know that Green Bay's defense is as good as Seattle's offensive line made them look, but Seattle may not be in for a Super Bowl year this year. They might struggle to make the playoffs.
No, I think you're right that they can make improvements. You know, I think some of it is systemic. Some of it is, you know, they need Thomas Rawls back, which I believe is going to happen this week. And I think that you're going to see a lot of improvements with him back and within the offensive line this next week. I would just caution, you know, any Seahawks fan who sees a decent size win this week and thinks, okay, this is the team that we need to actually, you know, realize is going to be on the field every week, because I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to make most teams look better than they are this year.
Sure.
So really I need to wait beyond this week, you know, into weeks 3 and 4 before I can really make a judgment on Seattle, because I think you'll see some bounce back type material from them this week. I just don't know how much stock you can put in what you see.
So for waiting to see on Seattle, and we're waiting to see on New England, does that mean we're not going to see the Chiefs and Rams in the Super Bowl? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm putting my money down on it right now. it's your money, but that's
my money. Yeah.
So yeah, I feel very confident about putting your money down on that matchup right now.
What would you think you would have to take for those two teams? I mean, Kansas City's got a pretty decent shot. They were in the divisional round last year. The Rams haven't made the playoffs in, you know, so many years. I'm thinking they're into two decades now. They had a great game against the Colts. I think the Colts being that bad is one of the few overreactions we can actually call a real reaction, that the talent there is just not good. LA looked good, though. You know, I'll give them that. The offense looked strong. The defense looked better than ever. And when they get Aaron Donald back, they'll be even beyond better than that. You know, you've voiced that you shouldn't worry about San Francisco, and I agree with that. And then you also have LA and Arizona in the division. Are either of those teams a threat to Seattle, or are they just going to win this division by default?
I think they're a threat, but only if Seattle is not as good as we expect them to be, in the sense that they just don't ever recover.
Right.
I think assuming they recover to a, you know, even 80%, 85% of what we expected them to be, I think they can be just fine. So the real issue is if basically what it comes down to is if parity exists in the division, it's because everybody's underachieving.
Sure.
And that's not the best kind of parity. It's not the most entertaining parity, but I guess you could call it parity nonetheless. So that's what I'll be looking out for throughout the season.
Yeah, there's a very big difference between parity and parody, and we're hoping to get parity, and so far the NFC West has looked like the latter, so
absolutely.
We'll see what happens in weeks 2, 3, and beyond. What is your reaction, as I'm assuming you're a fantasy football player?
Of course.
What is your reaction to the David Johnson injury? We heard this week that he's going to miss 2 to 3 months minimum with surgery on his dislocated wrist. If you're a David Johnson owner, how are you, you know, how are you walking those guys back from the ledge if they're seeing their number one pick go down in week one?
Well, my reaction is I'm glad I didn't have that number one pick. You know, I don't necessarily think this is boasting, but if I had had the number one pick, I'll be completely honest with you, I was going to take Le'Veon Bell. I love the patience in his game, the size and speed, and of course I did not predict David Johnson. I did not predict that David Johnson would go out in week one for as long as he's going to be out. I joke a little bit that I'm glad I didn't have the number one pick, but in reality, if I had gotten it, I wouldn't be in the situation. So personally, I don't feel like I, you know, lucked out too much. That said, you know, as far as fantasy purposes go, you're not going to replace him. I would say very bluntly, don't kid yourself by trying to justify that maybe he was never going to live up to the hype as a consensus number one pick. I know that I would have personally taken Le'Veon Bell, but he was always going to live up to that hype. It's a huge blow because even if you can get your hands on a guy like Williams or Ellington, who will be backing him up, or I guess starting in his place at this point, you're not going to get the same production because now all of a sudden it becomes a tandem attack. I know that they are looking at even signing Chris Johnson.
They actually did sign him.
Did they officially sign him at this point?
Yeah, he's officially signed. He's part of it. Yeah. Who knows? They don't know what his role is going to be. I mean, he's getting a little up there in years. I don't know that he has much left in the tank.
He's we'll say slightly over the hill.
Right. Seasoned.
So, I mean, if you look, very seasoned, very seasoned. You know, it's one of those situations with David Johnson that you're not going to find his replacement as far as fantasy purposes go on his own roster on the Cardinals.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Now, the nice part is that there were some surprise performances this week that are available on the waiver wire in most leagues. Cohen is one of the perfect examples who outperformed Howard, and he was available in something like 94% of leagues.
Right.
So if you are in a situation where you drafted David Johnson, you do have a lot of replacement opportunities here. It's at this point kind of we had some great quarterback performances, but it's looking like it could very well be another year of the running back. And so you do have options. I just am not going to try to kid you by saying you're going to find a true replacement for him.
Yeah, I actually had him in one league and I got lucky that I picked up Kareem Hunt before his big week one boom. And so I actually was able to just plug him in as my backup. I don't know that everyone else is that lucky. Maybe you're in a league where people actually pay attention and picked him up before I did. I was actually shocked he was available. But if you don't have a guy like Kareem Hunt, you're probably, like you said, you're scrambling to find fill-in players. And at that point, hopefully you drafted some depth and you've got a few guys that you can plug in week to week. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have to look at Cohen, or you're going to have to look at Buck Allen, or you're going to have to look at, you know, Charkandrick West or any of the Green Bay running backs if Ty Montgomery goes down. I mean, there's not really a starter just sitting out there on the waiver wire, but there's some guys that could definitely, like Chris Carson of Seattle is another guy that a lot of people don't have. He's sitting behind Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls, but he's just one big injury or one key play away from being the starter there. So keep an eye on that. And you know, if you had Johnson, hopefully you drafted the rest of your team really well and it won't hurt you as much. But if you did, well, you know, better luck next year, I guess. I don't know if that's how that's going to work. You know, you can't just plug in another guy and replace him.
I will throw out there, only because you mentioned his name, I wasn't going to go here. I swear I wasn't. But in my I'm in two leagues. One of them is we'll call it a for funsy league, and the other one's a money league.
Right.
And in my money league, I drafted Kareem Hunt, and I started him this week.
Nice.
Just saying, feeling pretty good about that.
I got lucky that the league I have, Johnson is my number one pick. I also have Jordan Howard, who now I'm not so high on, and Ty Montgomery and Kareem Hunt. And I've also got Doug Martin waiting to come off suspension in week five. So
yep.
I like my chances there. I think I've got a nice little stable of running backs. If I didn't have any one of those guys, I'd probably be a little worried right now. So if you don't have one of the guys I have, and you also don't have, you know, 4 to 5 really solid runners on your team, might be time to go scour the waiver wire, get to it before your other league mates do, and try to snatch up your guy. So
I agree.
With that, we're going to go into the break, and when we come back, we're going to talk week 2 preview of the NFL, what games to watch, maybe even some games not to watch. That's almost equally important, as well as some Ducks and Beavers football talk. We know Bryant's really into the UO and OSU football series. So we're going to really talk that up and see what he has to say about Willie Taggart and Gary Anderson and where they stand in years 1 and 3, respectively. And also, we're going to ask him for a prediction, and he doesn't know about that. So we're interested to see what he has to say. So come back and check us out after the break. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, want a brand new breakfast idea? Then get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Yes, indeed. Try the brand new cereal assortment with 10 individual packages in all. 4 Wheaties, 4 Cheerios, 2 Kix. All top favorites and all extra fresh. Yes, it's fun to take your pick from Wheaties, Cheerios, and Kix. Get the Betty Crocker cereal tray, the Betty Crocker cereal tray. Get that tray today.
Tomorrow morning, the all-star lineup of new 1952 Buicks goes on display at your Buick dealers. And believe you me, they're the smartest, smoothest riding Buicks you've ever seen. With new surprise features you thought years away. So don't miss the fun. Bring the whole family to see the advanced new Roadmasters, the exciting new Supers, and the brilliant new specials that combine big car luxury with economy price. Yes, don't miss the new 1952 Buicks at your Buick dealers tomorrow.